The poem Otherwise by Jane Kenyon. I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birchwood. All morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the walls and planned another day just like this day. But one day, I know it will be otherwise. 4 years ago, 100 days into my ministry with you, I began a sermon with this same poem, thinking of how the stars align or how choices move us swiftly, however unknowingly, toward some shared space, shared blessing that could have been otherwise. It was a time, I pray, I never forget those first 100 days with you, attaching stories and hopes, myths and judgments with faces I'd come to love. It felt impossible that it could have been otherwise, and yet I knew I could trace back each step that led me to that moment, to this place. And what I was learning is that most of you could too. What lives in this place I've come to know and what I've come to brag about is stories of choice and thanksgiving. A story of one forward, moving, difficultly discerned decision after another. A story of a people who have welcomed the evolution, the transformation, the urgency of time, knowing full well it could be otherwise. It's funny to think of it theologically, how anti-predestination we are. Some other figure out there, otherworldly, directing us. No, it is as if this body has sought to show their agency from day one. And now, part of our DNA, we can't but recognize the human gifts we've been given and make sure that the world knows we too can do the same. We will give thanks for our time of the past, and in turn, we will make our future. Just think of it. Just some of our history. From William Amberson's gathering of people in Trenton convinced there must be something other than the hellfire and brimstone of the day. And then seeing the crowd, knowing he was not alone. And then how he raced across the street to find baskets, anything that would hold money. The first financial affirmation, impromptu but successful. There were the seeds, the roots, the promise. Had it not been for Amberson, for those who leaped with him into a worthwhile risk, it could have been otherwise. And then those folks, they needed more, those who came before us, some who are still here with us. They needed more space, a true meeting ground which made for difficult decisions of where and for what purpose and who would lead. Years later, these would be the same questions, the same willingness to risk, and the same trust of our community and faith that brought them to this place, to Titusville, New Jersey, which came with much more than just a name change. It couldn't have been only a joyful decision to move from Trenton to the suburbs. It couldn't have been an easy conclusion, all that unknowing. And yet here we gather because of whatever hard conversations we've shared, relationships tested, culture prioritized, future imagined. It could have been otherwise. But so it went. This was now the building of the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossing, folding chairs placed facing the creek bend, aisle by small aisle in what we know as the crossings room, and a pulpit. No need for it to be raised by dais steps. The smaller congregation could see, could hear well enough, communed between the folding pews after the service concluded. Some days I wonder still, because if you remember, I am a fellowship baby, no minister, only one other family, and today they are a membership of 12. My mom's in the sanctuary, so don't laugh too hard. So what was it like when all those visitors turned up in the 1990s? And what was it like when they stuck around? They weren't like everyone else, not all of them. You'd lose some things in that welcome, I'm sure of it. The intimacy, the comfort. And then when I get caught in those ruminations, I remember I should just ask the one-third of this congregation who came then, who stuck around, and who still do. So what was it like to arrive here and be the thing, the hope people had been waiting for? What was it like to know that because of you, everything seemed possible, and that only with you would those possibilities come to be? Because it was only a few years into being in this location that the crossings room couldn't hold the membership. Only a few years when it was obvious some serious renovations, a sanctuary of all things, would have to come. Though I guess it could have been otherwise. Today, we gather a congregation more than double the size, and by some numbers, perhaps triple, of 20 years prior. Think about that for a moment. It could have been otherwise. In just a few weeks, it will be the anniversary of when members of this congregation arrived in the early fall, came to this site against the request of the architects because the work had not been concluded, and with Sharpies in hand, wrote their wishes for this place and this people under where the carpet was laid. The saying is, we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors, of those who came before. We truly stand on the hopes, the blessings, the sweat of those who imagined this. This sanctuary, this membership, this growth of body and spirit. Later this morning, when we use this space, this sanctuary, imagined by others, made possible by others, given to us by some indelible portion of who we are today, when we use this space to vote whether to have another capital campaign, I want us to picture what it would feel like to hold that Sharpie in our hands and to imagine what we will write. I want us to then, before really coming up with those words, imagine Rocco and Luca pulling at the carpet in 20 years. Reading your words, considering your hopes for them. In 20 years' time, some minister will stand here and reflect on this day. Add it to the story of who we are and remember us. Remember the choices we made and the way we thought generously of our future or otherwise. It won't be a sanctuary this time. It doesn't need to be yet. We've got plenty of seats during that 9 a.m. service, just in case you need the invitation. But it will be. It could be. Another classroom or two so that our children could move while being taught, so that grades didn't have to be combined despite how large the registration. It could be so our adults could meet while others worshiped. It could be an investment in the I am. I am Unitarian Universalist, the learnings that happen in those classrooms that right now are too tight and too few. And let us not forget to mention poor Sue Flynn, whose title as first intern means her office space's only decor is primary colors and Tonka trucks, because her office is also the nursery. Or Carol's office, that slither of a closet, moldy in the summer months, freezing in the winter, dumping ground for anything that doesn't fit anywhere else. Oh, and that anything, it could be some storage. My one frustration with the architect from 20 years past, where did they think we'd keep anything? Because right now, our pre-K, that those little ones that are heading into that classroom, it's split down the middle with a handmade fence about 6 feet high so that on the other side they can't get into the boxes of ministry and committee materials, our one place of storage for a system of 400 adults. The thing about that pre-K room, too, I fear to share, that fence is not blocking any sort of emergency exit, because that simply doesn't exist in some of our rooms right now. So no, it won't be a sanctuary this time, but it could be a lobby that allows for enough room to hug the ones we've missed since last Sunday passed, while also allowing for a wheelchair to move without concern or little ones to run past walkers without that fearful intake of breath. It could be a crossings room that actually allows for conversation, heaven forbid, movement, or pride that a space relays like our sanctuary does. And look, you can't tell me that we don't need any of those things, or that they don't sound nice. And I also get that this is a huge decision. In the words of one of our beloved worship associates, assuming we vote to go forward, quote, did you see this version of the sermon? It will be a momentous decision, scary, exhilarating, a big-ass commitment that means we are in it for the long haul. This person suggested I say something like that, but with a little bit more tact, but I actually think that's perfectly said. It will be all of those things. But here's the thing. The thing that I need to say, that I've needed to say for 3 years plus, since day one here, I have been running from a ghost in this place. People have likened me since the interview process to Reverend Linda DeSantis, the minister who served this congregation when the sanctuary was built. It was a time of growth, but also a whole lot of justice work, the height of the AIDS crisis. It couldn't be anything else. She promised, "If you build it, I will fill it." And then, for whatever the reasons, they do not matter, she left shortly after the sanctuary was built. I am not making any promises. You never needed any promises from the minister, any motivations from the pulpit. This is, and has always been, and may it always be, a community that has known why it is here and what it can be and for whom. The truth is, we're past the hour of filling it. The decision now is how we take seriously the gifts we have been given in having found this place, this people who made sure there was a seat for us, a ramp to come in by, a way to give back to something outside of ourselves, a sound system to help us hear, music to enrich, curriculum to learn from, a place to be dedicated, married, and memorialized. The decision now is if we believe all of that has been worth it enough, life-giving enough, that we might want to share it, ensure it for the generation to come. Enough to ride us through the exhilaration, the fear, the big-ass commitment. That's not a promise a minister can give. That's a promise only you can give, and only you can make true. And it is a faith a theology I would be privileged to serve. With gratitude for all who came before, and with love and affection for all who are here today, and with deep anticipation for all who will come, it could have been otherwise. It could be otherwise. May we be thoughtful and heartful with choice and thanksgiving. Blessed be.